Aaron Foley is a native Detroiter who graduated from Michigan State University and worked at the State News and the Lansing State Journal before moving back to the Motor City. He's just written a book that he hopes will help newcomers to Detroit fit in with their new neighbors. Current State Scott Pohl talked with Aaron Foley about how to live in Detroit without being a jackass. What's going on here, Scott?
Well, Mark, you know, we've been hearing for a while about people moving to Detroit because housing costs are low and the city is gaining a reputation for welcoming artistic people and millennials. The idea behind Aaron Foley's book would seem to be to help newcomers become part of Detroit without expecting native Detroiters to change just because they've moved in.
Aaron Foley, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
What inspired you to write How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass? Are there lots of newly minted jackasses clogging the streets of Detroit these days?
It seems like it, and that sounds really awful to say, but I wrote it from the perspective of someone who has grown up in Detroit and lived in Detroit almost all my life, except during my years here at State. But the Detroit I knew growing up and the Detroit that my family knew and whatnot is changing very rapidly. A lot of things are being lost. A lot of culture is being lost. Buildings every day that we've seen for years and years are being torn down every day. And it can be a good thing or a bad thing depending on how you look at it. But with a lot of curiosity about Detroit and a lot of new people moving to Detroit, when they come, they are not familiar with how things used to be. And because things are changing so much, I wanted to just offer some sort of guidebook to, okay, you're new here, this is how we do things here, and this is how you can be respectful of culture and history, as well as people that live here.
You know, when I first saw the title of your book, Aaron, Sight Unseen, I wondered if you meant for it to be tongue-in-cheek rather than a serious guide for newcomers trying to fit in Detroit. Is it a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. It's one of those things that people can be a quote-unquote jackass when they are completely disrespectful, I think. And when you are disrespectful, it can be little things like not saying hi to someone as people in Detroit do and have done for so long, to bigger things like renaming a neighborhood, which is a big trend in Detroit these days. A lot of people are sort of taking on that Brooklyn, Austin, Portland mindset of quote-unquote colonizing or settling a neighborhood that's been there on the map for 100 years or more, but people say, oh, let's call it this. Let's call it West Corktown. Let's call it South Corktown, which are two recent examples of what's been going on in the city.
Aaron Foley is the author of How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. And Aaron, I want to compliment you on the cover of your book because the word Detroit is spelled in the same font as Verner's. The coloring is the same as a Verner's bottle logo or a can logo. Really captures, I think, the spirit of Detroit in a lot of ways.
It's one of those things that when people leave Detroit, everyone misses Verner's. Everyone recognizes it right away. I remember my freshman year at State coming here and going to, it's gone now, but there used to be a Subway on Grand River, and there was a fountain machine that had Verner's, and I was like, yes, I'm back home. You know, it's not too far away. So I definitely wanted to inspire some nostalgia in people because everyone loves Verner's. Who doesn't, you know?
Well, Aaron Foley, I'd like to ask you to read a little bit of your book for us. Can you choose something and give us a brief reading?
Sure. I'm going to read from a chapter called How Not to Offend People When Talking About Detroit. Detroiters are easily offended. They are fighting to control how they express their feelings when they've constantly been told how to feel by so many others. There are ways to avoid offending, though. Use common sense. Be wily. Be smart. Know where you're coming from with your thoughts, and understand that the place where you're coming from is perhaps much different than the place you're in now. Entering into conversation with a Detroiter can quickly escalate into a sticky, awkward experience, but there are landmines you can avoid. Be compassionate. Be honest. And understand that humor, sometimes even self-deprecation, can go a long way. Maybe even ease the awkwardness a little.
Aaron Foley reading for us from How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks.
I want to ask you about a few of the chapters in the book, starting with how you should be talking about Detroit. What are people doing wrong when they talk about Detroit?
I think people are saying a lot of things like Detroit was a blank canvas. Detroit was a blank slate. Detroit is just empty and vacant and just waiting for all this opportunity when in reality, there are more than 600,000 people living in Detroit, and there are people doing the same things that newer residents are doing, whether it's opening a corner store with organic goods, doing art sculptures and displays and things like that, to even opening restaurants and things like that. I mean, some of those things never stopped because of what happened with either the bankruptcies or either the political turmoil that's been going on for the last couple of years.
One of your chapters is called How to Be White in Detroit, and I'll point out to our listeners that you, sir, are an African-American, so I'm going to ask you about your approach to that topic. And the same goes for How to Be Black in Detroit. What was your approach to writing these chapters?
The How to Be White in Detroit was a little more tongue-in-cheek. I was sort of talking directly because Detroit's demographics, such as they are, their most recent census showed that more young white residents are moving than any other demographic. But you're moving into a city that is still majority black. So I kind of take this tongue-in-cheek approach as far as, you know, there are some things that young white people can say that can be inadvertently racist. So the last thing you want to do in a city that is majority black is come off as a racist. I don't think anybody is coming from a bad place, but there are things people say that can be hurtful. When it comes to How to Be Black, that chapter was a little more serious because I talk about some personal experiences when you do see these competing narratives as far as showing businesses that are owned by young white residents, and you see black residents saying, like, well, we've owned these same kind of businesses for years. Why aren't we getting the same attention? And I talk about erasure and microaggressions and how you can start to feel like an outsider in your own city, even though you've lived there almost all your life.
Something else I want you to explain for us. You have a chapter called How to Deal with the Men in Detroit, but I didn't see a chapter called How to Deal with the Women in Detroit.
You know, there is a chapter that talks about women in Detroit, but those two chapters, when I talk about how to deal with the men in Detroit, I talk about how for so long, the mayors and county executives and sheriffs and things like that have had rule over Detroit. There's been very few, except for city council and board of education, there's been very few female leaders at the very top. So what does that mean? Does that mean that men in Detroit are ruthless and powerful, or should we be more sympathetic because of the way history has, not just in Detroit, but in the country, has put men in power? So how do we approach that from a Detroit standpoint? I wrote a chapter about women, but I was really afraid to do that one because I didn't want to be like, hey, ladies, you know, because I am a guy, and I didn't want to, you know, kind of mansplain or talk down to women. But for that one, I wanted to talk about some of the great women in Detroit. I talk about Irma Henderson on the city council, and I mentioned a few up-and-coming leaders, because now I think, again, as Detroit's demographics changes, now we're seeing a more positive view as far as more women coming into power in Detroit, which is great.
The book is How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass, and we're talking with the author, Aaron Foley. Aaron, I've got a concern about people moving into Detroit that I wanted to ask for your thoughts on. People we hear are moving in because it's inexpensive and welcoming these days, but the city is also seeing all sorts of new development that I would wonder about it maybe in the future, leading to home prices and rents going up, and the same people will move out when that happens. Does that make sense to you?
It does. I mean, and it's happening to almost everyone. Now it's almost like there's this second wave of gentrification, if that's what you want to call it, where the people who moved here 5 years ago as part of the first wave, now they're being priced out by the second wave. And then that doesn't even count all the thousands of people who are, you know, kind of on pins and needles because they don't know what's going to happen with the home prices in their neighborhood. They don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of years when things really start to change. So it's one of those things that I hope that we're kind of on the cusp of. We can go in one direction or the other. We can become a Brooklyn where rents and home prices go sky high and no one can really afford to live there, like a San Francisco type of place. Or we can, you know, heed some of the lessons from those other cities and say, okay, how can we make Detroit truly a welcoming place for everyone, the existing residents and new residents?
Aaron Foley's new book is How to Live in Detroit Without Being a Jackass. Aaron Foley, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.